Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to this holy half hour on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we're having the second in our series of programmes on hymns and their stories. And the first hymn tonight is Abide With Me. It was written by the Reverend Henry Francis Lyte, L-Y-T-E, from Kelso in the Borders. He was born in 1793. He became a student at Cambridge University, where he won the English Poetry Prize 3 times. For 25 years, he was a minister of Lower Brixham on the Devonshire coast, and most of his hymns were written for the fisher folk of his parish and for the 800 children in his Sunday school. Yes, 800. He wrote Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, and then this hymn, Abide With Me, in 1847. Just a few months before he died at the age of 54. He always had bad health. He had a brilliant intellect, but a very feeble body. He used to say, it's better to wear out than rust out. But he was worn out with his work and with his worries, and he was ordered by his doctor to go to the south of France. So although he was very ill and weak, he preached his very last sermon and conducted his last communion, and then went into his study in the evening and composed the hymn Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. He came out of his study with the hymn and handed it to a relative, and then he set off for Nice in France and died just 2 months later with the words peace and joy on his lips. In a poem which he wrote in Nice, he says the following, "Oh, might I leave behind some blessing for my fellows, to guide, to cheer, to elevate my kind. Death would be sweeter then, more calm my slumber neath the silent sod. Might I thus live to bless my fellow men and glorify my God, and grant me, swan-like, my last breath to spend in song that may not die." Well, his prayer has been answered in this song that has never died since. It's become ever more popular. The tune of Abide With Me is called Eventide. It was written by Dr. W. H. Monk. He was the musical editor of the famous hymn book Hymns Ancient and Modern, which was published in 1861. He ended up as the professor of vocal music at King's College in London. He wrote the music for Abide With Me in only 10 minutes, while a piano lesson was going on in the same room. How can he keep 2 tunes in his head at the same time? He wasn't keen on organ recitals in churches. He thought the organ should be used just for helping worship of God, not to show off human skills. The hymn's based on a Bible passage in Luke chapter 24, where Cleopas and his friend are walking home to their home village of Emmaus, their chins drooping into their chests, trudging wearily homewards, heartbroken, because Jesus, the light of their life, had been crucified. Jesus, the light of the world, had been extinguished. All their hopes and dreams, all their faith in him was crucified and gone too. How could it be? And then the risen Jesus sneaks up alongside them and speaks to them. At first they don't recognize him, but when they arrive in Emmaus, Cleopas says, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." Light turns it into a prayer for our times of need, especially when we're nearing death at the end of life's journey. Stay with us, Jesus, so that like Cleopas and his friend, we can also say, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us?" Jesus does abide with us, as he abode with Cleopas and his friend. I wasn't sure which version to play, so I'm going to get the best of both worlds. This is the Fron Male Voice Choir and Catherine Jenkins, first of all, singing Abide With Me.
Abide with me.
Our next hymn was written by Cecil Francis Alexander. It's There Is a Green Hill. Cecil Francis Alexander is an Irish lady born in 1823. Her dad, Major Humphrey, served in the Royal Marines. Cecil began writing verses when she was only 9 years old. Her dad made a box for them, and on Saturday evenings, her poems were taken out and read. In 1850, she married William Alexander, who became Bishop of Derry, and then Archbishop of Armagh. Before that, William and Cecil were in a country parish in the county of Tyrone in Ireland. Mrs. Alexander enjoyed visiting the poor and needy, the sick and the sorrowful, in all weathers. She could mix with everyone, with the rich and famous and the poor downtrodden. She attended the cathedral services daily, and then she died in 1895 at the age of 72. She was buried in Londonderry Cemetery. Throughout her life, she wrote 400 hymns and poems, 41 of them specially for children, including Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult. She wrote a famous poem about the burial of Moses, but she's most remembered for her book Hymns for Little Children, which sold nearly 500,000 copies. She wrote many of them for her own children, 2 boys and 2 girls. They were her guinea pigs and their critics. Cecil Francis Alexander wrote Once in Royal David's City, All Things Bright and Beautiful, Do No Sinful Action, and most famous of all, There Is a Green Hill Far Away. She wrote this hymn to explain the meaning of the phrases in the Apostles' Creed and the Catechism to her children. She wrote the hymn in 1848, the same year that she married William Alexander. It was 30 years later, in 1878, before George Stebbins composed a tune for this poem. He lived till he was 99 in New York State. He decided to introduce his new tune to the world in a midweek service and in the form of a male quartet. 3 leading soloists in New York and himself. They rehearsed it, but on the night, bad weather stopped the others from getting there. So his great quartet suddenly became a solo by George Stebbins himself, to a very depleted congregation that night. But it has gone from strength to strength ever since. The inspiration for Cecil to write There Is a Green Hill came from looking out of her manse window beside the cathedral in Derry. From its high vantage point, she could look out over the city walls to the green hills. She and her husband were buried on the slope of a green hill within sight of her manse window. Guess what hymn they sang at her funeral? She gives us 3 reasons why Jesus died: that we might be forgiven, to make us good, and that we might go at last to heaven. Thank you. The next hymn is Rock of Ages. It is written by a man with an interesting name, the Reverend Augustus Montague Toplady. He was born in 1740, and he was the great hymn writer of 133 hymns. He wrote this hymn when he was 36, and he went and died at the age of 38. One day, Toplady was travelling through the pleasant English countryside when a sudden fierce storm sent him scurrying for shelter. He found it nearby in the cleft of a great rock. And while there, inspired by the situation and the surroundings, he penned the immortal lines, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Reverend Toplady happened to be the editor of a church magazine called the Gospel Magazine, so he first published his hymn in it as part of an essay in 1776. In the essay, he stresses the utter sinfulness of people and the absolute necessity of receiving Jesus' forgiveness. To make his point, he compares the sins of the average individual to the national debt of the country. Somehow, don't ask me how, he calculates that a 50-year-old person in their lifetime would be guilty of 1,576,800,000 sins. He argued it was humanly impossible for anyone to pay off such a staggering debt. So we have to fall back on Jesus paying the debt for us. The hymn was a great favourite of Queen Victoria's husband Albert, especially when he himself was facing death. Gladstone, the Prime Minister, translated it into Italian, Greek and Latin. When an Australian ship called the Draper foundered in the Bay of Biscay, the last man rescued said that he left the remainder of the passengers singing this hymn as they faced drowning in a watery grave. It's a very personal hymn, a bit like Psalm 23. Notice how often we hear the personal words, I, me and mine. Cleft for me. Hide me, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. St. Paul had the same personal note when he wrote, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. I know whom I have believed. The word cleft in the rock reminds us of two incidents in Moses' life. The time when God hid him in a cleft of a rock on Mount Sinai while God passed by, because nobody had ever been able to face God and see him. And then the time when Moses hit the rock and water gushed out, giving water for all the people in the wilderness. So Jesus is the rock of ages. We hide in him, he cuddles us and protects us, and Jesus gives us the water of life, and now we need never thirst again. When Jesus was crucified, a Roman soldier checked to see he was really dead by piercing his heart with a spear, and out gushed blood and water. Blood reminds us of communion. Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin and guilt, and the water reminds us of baptism. Jesus washes us clean and helps us to be born anew. So the hymn speaks of a double cure. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. And then it says, not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. In other words, we can't save ourselves. We can't achieve or deserve or merit or buy or win salvation. All we can do is humbly accept God's acceptance of us, hidden within Jesus, the rock of ages. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Thou must save, and thou alone. St. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 2. It is by God's grace that we are saved, through trusting him. It is not our own doing, it is God's gift. So the hymn remains perennially popular, because we know this is true.
Help us, Lord, to thee for grace.
Welsh people love to sing, anywhere and everywhere, on their way to work in the coal mines in the past, or at rugby matches nowadays, and in churches. Music has always played an important part in Welsh revivals, and they enjoy it at social events too. Wales is full of choirs, quartets and soloists, people like Bryn Terfel, Catherine Jenkins. Wales has also many hymn writers, like William Williams. Now there's a Welsh name for you. William Williams was a lay preacher in the 18th century. In his 48-year ministry, he travelled almost 100,000 miles on foot and on horseback. He got the nickname as the Welsh Wesley, because John Wesley did that too. And he would preach and sing wherever he went. They said he took all Wales for his parish. He played a key role in the Welsh revival of 1741. He wrote over 800 hymns, all in Welsh, and the best one known is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, published in Welsh in 1745 and translated into English in 1771. This hymn recalls some of the most trying incidents which took place during the Israelites' 40-year wandering in the wilderness, between escaping slavery in Egypt and then settling in the Promised Land. They followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They were fed by manna and quails. They got water from the rock, and they crossed the River Jordan miraculously. We too are pilgrims on the journey, from the cradle to the grave, from birth to death, from the womb to the tomb, and beyond death to life in eternity. Often this life can seem like a wilderness, a barren land. So we call upon God to sustain us with his powerful hand. Note that the whole hymn is a prayer. The whole hymn praises God for providing so well for us, his people, at every stage of our lives. Jesus is the bread of heaven, our manna in the wilderness. The tune Cwm Rhondda, which is associated with this hymn, was composed by John Hughes for a Welsh song festival in 1905. The year before, in 1904, there was another great Welsh revival. So many Welsh people suddenly became Christians that the police had nothing to do because there was no crime except sing quartets in church socials. Down in the coal mines, things came to a grinding halt because the miners had become Christians and the pit ponies couldn't follow orders which no longer contained swear words. So here's Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Oh.
I'm sure we all know the feeling of being let down by friends. You've prepared a meal, then all of a sudden they don't turn up. Or worse, times when we get stabbed in the back. People we trust say things which embarrass us. Husbands and wives can be very bad at pulling each other down in public. The song says you always hurt the one you love. The world's full of unfulfilled promises and vows. Friends can often be job's comforters, and with friends like that, who needs enemies? Jesus had his problems like this too. Remember Judas Iscariot, the treasurer of the disciple band, who sold his friend and master for 30 pieces of silver? Why did he do that? Was it for money? Was it fear, jealousy, revenge? We really don't know. But the good news is, surrounded by people like Judas and Peter who denied him and doubting Thomas, Jesus loved, as the hymn says, with a love that would never let go. It was written by George Matheson, the Reverend George Matheson. As a very young man, he suffered from a disease which would cause him to become ever more blind. Despite this, he pressed on with his studies and he became a minister. He graduated with honours at the age of 19. While at university, he met and fell in love with a fellow student and they were going to get married. George felt that he had to tell her that one day he would be totally blind, and he wondered if she would still love him and still marry him. When he told her, she turned round and bluntly said to him, "I don't want to be the wife of a blind man," and he was pierced to the heart. Years later, the memory of that rebuff came flooding back to him. It was on the eve of his sister's wedding. In less than 5 minutes, he penned the immortal words, "O love that will not let me go," unlike earthly loves. Well, our holy half hour has reached its end, so I'll leave you tonight with the Glasgow Phoenix Choir singing, "O love that will not let me go." Till the next time. Bye for now.